Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Break faces when they drop jaw. Food chain says top dog. We don't listen to y'all. This the outlaw. We don't listen to y'all. This the outlaw. Make them scream out loud. Cause a ruckus in the crowd like a foul ball. Tune in at the charge for the outlaws. Tune in at the charge for the outlaws.
Welcome to the Outlaws. This is Darby Oda Kingpin Marl alongside Robin O'Malley and Dante Bry. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Outlaws Radio. The gang's all here. It's the first episode in like 5 episodes that all three of us have been together. So this is the first one of the new year with the whole crew here. I'm glad for that. Robin, how are you? Your mic is muted, Miss O'Malley.
I'm sorry, I was fighting with the screen. It wouldn't work for me. No, I mean, I'm good right now. You know what, Darvio? I am actually having some wine right now. It has been a long week.
Great.
Well, Monday, you know, was you know, for Robin. Monday was my birthday. But
that's right.
Throughout the week, I've had a very long, long week, and now I'm just relaxing until work tomorrow again.
Yeah.
How are you?
First of all, happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. We all say
you too.
Now, the other thing I saw on Instagram that you went and got that massage and had people playing with your feet, right?
Listen, it was given life, okay? And I'm not done with the massages, okay? I got one more coming.
Right. So you getting any good birthday gifts?
No. But you know, I did, you know, I pampered myself really. I just, for my birthday, I just did some yoga, some meditating, went shopping with my daughter. Me and my daughter, you know, we cooked some dinner together. She baked me a cake. And I went and got a manicure, pedicure, and I'm actually getting ready to go get a full body massage, and I've never tried this part with hot stones.
She didn't hear that. So
that's going to be interesting.
She didn't hear that. You didn't hear that.
What I hear?
You were saying what you did for your birthday, and then it was...
You're so annoying. Yeah, that's true though. Nobody gave me gifts. But it's cool. You know, a gift to myself is perfectly fine.
Yeah, that counts too.
That's true. Dante, how are you, sir?
We back.
Yeah, well,
finally,
you back.
Sir.
Hey, we back.
Hold on, Robin. You back. Me and Robin been back.
Listen. We a team, so we back. Like cook crap in the 90s. All right? The Outlaws is back. It's a new year. Same us. What's one of my favorite sayings, Darvio? We back at it like some crack addicts.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
have a ball in 2023.
So this is going to be a really good episode. First of all, and make sure that you stay tuned for the entire episode. First, we have a great interview with Grace Curley that's coming up, but also you do not want to miss Tea Time or Dante's hot takes. It's going down in both of those segments. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. But first, let's get to our interview with the great Grace Curley right now. All right, we have a very special guest on the show today. She's been on this show before, from the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, welcome back. How are you?
I'm so great, Darvio. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming back. I really appreciate it. So it's been very interesting in D.C. the last couple of weeks here. Apparently nobody knows how to take care of classified documents. Talk a little bit for people who maybe, I mean, they might have heard it, but they might not be, you know, fully aware of what's going on. Catch people up about the issue that the Biden administration is having right now.
All right. So first, there was a batch of documents that were found in a think tank, the Penn Biden Center, which is, you know, a part of the University of Pennsylvania. So we get those documents first, and the Biden White House is trying to kind of poo-poo it. Turns out they actually found these documents before the midterm elections, but they haven't revealed it until now. And you know, there's reports coming out that the DOJ, there was an understanding that no one would say anything, and somehow it leaked out to CBS News. So we get that first batch, and everyone's kind of up in arms because of the way the left reacted just a couple of months ago when this happened with Donald Trump. Then we got a second batch, and this one I actually think is even funnier. This one was in Joe Biden's Wilmington home garage near his Corvette. And so then that's when I start thinking, okay, now this is a real story. This has legs. The media is not going to let this one go so easily. Then the third batch we find at his private library in his residence. And my whole point with this, Darvio, is at what point do we stop saying a small handful? Because they keep saying it's a small handful, but now we're up to three. There could be more. And so this whole comparison of it's not as bad as Donald Trump is not holding up anymore, at least not for me.
Well, I mean, if you are a regular, normal person and you have one classified document, you can go to jail. All it takes is one, right?
No, absolutely. If your last name's not Biden, then yeah, all it takes is one. But in this case, what I think is really interesting is listening to when the first batch came out, the media was hell-bent on describing to people why this is not nearly as bad as when it was Donald Trump. And a lot of their reasoning was, well, Joe Biden's being cooperative and Joe Biden's talking with the National Archives. But there are a lot of reasons why I actually think this could be worse than Trump's, including the fact that Trump, you know, you can like him or not like him, he was president when he had these documents. And when you're president, you have the option to declassify information. So even though he shouldn't have had them afterwards, and he probably should have been a little bit more forthcoming with it, he does have that option to declassify. I don't think his vice president, Joe Biden, had that same kind of capability. And so there's a lot of things about this. And then, you know, you hear about Mar-a-Lago and how their Secret Service at Mar-a-Lago, they tried to make it seem like it was very up in the air and very kind of sloppy the way he was storing them. But then we have the Hunter Biden of it all. We have the fact that Joe Biden's son, who used to have a crack addiction, has access to his garage, is taking out his Corvette at certain times. And this is where top secret or at least classified documents are being stored. So when I take the scoreboard, I think that it's actually a lot worse for Joe Biden.
And I think too, we're talking with Grace Curley from the Grace Curley Show. If there was another way, if there was more of a way to bungle this, I don't know what it was, because they have handled this so poorly. Like so poorly. How can you get normally the basic crisis communications 101 is get out in front of it, get it all out at the very beginning so that you don't have the drip, 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 drip. They didn't do that. I mean, they invited the drip, drip, drip. What the hell are they thinking?
Yeah, it's such a good question because I really don't know. The timing of it is weird. The fact that these are being found all over the place is pretty bizarre. And it's strange to see, and I think it was a real giveaway for that this wasn't going to be the usual, you know, little blip on the radar for Joe Biden, is that the media, and I'm sure you've all noticed this, the media has been kind of all over the map. They usually are very much on one team, on one note in the way they cover this. But you do have some people going rogue, some defectors saying, what gives? And you have like CBS's Ed O'Keefe challenging Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, and really pushing back on this and saying, you guys weren't forthcoming, you weren't honest with us. And like you said, it has been a drip, drip, drip. So it's very disorganized. And it's hard not to look at this and say, it's damaging for Joe Biden's 2024 prospects. And I don't know if maybe that's playing into it. Maybe that's the point.
Yeah, there's been some people that have asked that question that, you know, is this something, is this a deliberate leak? Is this some kind of sabotage from inside of the palace trying to make Joe Biden a non-viable candidate for 2024? I'm not 100% sure I believe that, just because I don't think the Democrats have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, no, it is a good question, but I just think the age factor of Joe, I think it's probably exhausting for them. And you know, when you really think about all of the scandals that he has withstood thus far, he's like a cat with nine lives. And when I look at all of the problems Joe Biden's had, and of course, Hunter comes to mind, and of course, that double standard, but also the Afghanistan withdrawal, the southern border, these documents for me, if it was Grace Curley deciding the severity of these things, this is doesn't even crack his top five worst things he's done. So that part of it's weird, too, that it's getting this much play when there were so many other opportunities for the media to really go after him and they let go of that bone. But with this one, they won't let go of it, which I think is telling. I think they smell blood in the water and they know that this could be the thing that sinks him.
We're talking with Grace Curley from The Grace Curley Show. And I think part of it is the way that they bundled this. There's no stronger way or better way to piss the media off than to lie to them and make a fool out of them. And that's part of the issue. I think going back to what you said earlier, when that first batch came out, you know, there were people in the media who were rushing to say, oh, that's no big deal. Well, you know, 2 days later, you look dumb as hell when the next batch comes, and then the next batch comes after that. So I think part of it, too, is a family feud, if you will, between the media and the Biden administration, because I think they're just pissed off that they got misled and they all look stupid.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Darvio. And I have to tell you guys, there was this amazing, I don't know if anyone saw it, there was this amazing Reliable Sources newsletter today. And full disclosure, I don't sign up for the newsletter. I don't read Reliable Sources, but I saw it on Twitter. I saw some people talking about it, so I checked it out. And basically what it was that Oliver Darcy, who writes that newsletter, was able to get a lot of journalists who are in the White House press corps not on the record. They wanted to stay anonymous, but he was able to get them to tell him what they were thinking about all this. And when I tell you the knives were out for Karine Jean-Pierre in a way that I never expected, saying that she is the, at one point, someone in the article said she's the worst press secretary in the television era. And then they, you know, added the addendum of, except for the Trump people, of course, they have to add that in. But still, it was a real damning report from CNN about the press secretary. And really, when you think about it, about Joe Biden. And it was like something I'd never seen. And it was part of that was the bungling of this and how she's managed to drop the ball and lie to them. And I think people are getting very, very frustrated with going into those press briefings and getting no answers whatsoever. It's like non-answers all the time. And people are just losing their patience for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like seeing gaslighting at the podium, right, on full display. And I said this on Twitter a couple of days ago. You know, I don't criticize White House press secretaries very often because it's a thankless, tough job. That job sucks. It's one of the worst jobs in communication in the White House. And I've also heard, I know people say that, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre is a very nice person, but I would have to concur with whoever made that comment in the newsletter. She's one of the worst press secretaries I've ever seen. I mean, it is it's just bad. And when you have a bad press secretary, you have to wonder, okay, is it, are you bad because of the material that you're given that you have to work with? Or are you bad because you're just bad? But one or the other is true. She's really, really bad at this.
Yeah, it's a really good question to ask too, because I've thought about that as well. I remember there was a press secretary and I'm blanking on his name. I can't remember the administration. I think he was recently on Fox. And he basically explained to them, he said, when I was press secretary, I wanted to know everything. And I would tell them, you know, I need to know everything, the honest truth before I go out there. And it was more to cover his own ass, you know, like I don't want to be made, like you just said, nobody likes to be made a fool. I don't want to go out there and look ridiculous. And in this case, when I watch her, I think, is it whatever's in the binder is not helpful, or are they withholding things from her and she doesn't know? And so then she goes out and says, that's all the documents. And then a couple hours later, more documents come out. But there's a real gap in the communications somewhere in this White House right now. And it's obvious to everybody.
It's terrible. And what they don't understand, and there was an article that came out, I think today, that showed that Anita Dunn was the one behind the strategy to not say anything. And for people who don't know who that is, she was in the Obama administration as well. She's a very controversial figure for obvious reasons, as you see right now. They just totally bungled this. And when you watch those press briefings, it's like you're looking at a robot. Like she just says the same thing over and over and over again. And then she says, well, you know, per policy, we can't talk about this. When the Justice Department issues a statement, like, no, you can talk about it.
I know. That was great. That was also something where I thought something's happening here.
Yeah.
Something, this is not typical that the DOJ would come out and say, or a source would leak to Fox, hey, listen, she can say whatever she wants. That's not how this works. That is a big shift from about 5 weeks ago, when everybody was in line and everybody was playing nice and everybody knew their role. And it does feel like whether or not this documents thing was, you know, I don't want to sound too conspiratorial, so let's just say it was all just a big mistake. But this this kind of shift in the way the media and these intelligence agencies are tackling this say to me that they're cutting Joe loose. They can't deal with this. They can barely deal with it, Darvio, for two more years, let alone if he runs when he's 82, 83 years old in 2024, which is looking like, you'll notice the timing. He was just about to get his Irish up and announce that he was going to run for president. And I think that they knew, we got to do some, if we're going to turn on him, it's got to be within the next like 48 hours. And they did. A lot of people did.
Well, and it's interesting too, because, you know, under normal circumstances, like this would sound like really conspiratorial, but the number one question is, well, who leaked it in the first place? Somebody leaked it. Somebody leaked it to CBS, right? So this had to come from somewhere.
No, it did. And that's another, I've always found that amazing about his administration, as dysfunctional and incompetent and arrogant as they are, they managed to keep a lid on it really well. Like I look back to the Trump years, there was always these palace intrigue pieces about Donald Trump and, you know, he's up till 4 a.m. eating cheeseburgers, watching, you know, the Animal Planet or whatever he would watch.
Nobody in the administration knew how to keep their damn mouth shut.
Yeah, everybody blabbed to everybody. And we kind of got used to that. And with Biden, I was thinking, Lord only knows. I mean, the stuff we see of him when he's in public is concerning. So Lord only knows what it's like when the curtains are closed. And yet, very little, like you don't hear a peep from anybody. So you're right. The fact that someone had to come forward with this and kind of break away from the ranks is something strange about it. It all smells a little weird to me.
Yeah, that's another tell. More of our interview with Grace Curley when we come back here on The Outlaws.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Real talk, real conversations. We got the heat.
Giving it real.
Hell yeah.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. And we'll jump right back into our interview with Grace Curley. We're talking with Grace Curley from the Grace Curley Show. Talk a little bit about what you had going on this week on the show. One of your favorite topics or guests or whatever you did this week.
I think one of my favorite topics this week was probably, and I keep butchering his name because I'm not a sports girl, and anyone who listens to my show knows that, but the defenseman from the Flyers, I just keep calling him Provy. It's Ivan Provorov, I think is how you say it. But he refused to wear a warm-up jersey for the game, and it was Pride Night, and he said very respectfully, he's Russian Orthodox, he said, "It's against my religion, it's no disrespect to anybody, but I'm not going to wear it." And immediately there were calls from like sports journalists, people with blue checks, not that Darvio, you know as well as I do, that doesn't mean anything anymore, but real serious people, I'm sure they consider themselves, who make a lot of money, calling for him to be benched and to be sent back to Russia and to enlist in the Ukraine war. And all of these really hateful, intolerant things were said about this person who was simply not even trying to make a statement, just simply trying to follow, you know, his beliefs. And I just found the whole thing astounding. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised because of how wacky everything has become. But just seeing this unfold and seeing the vitriol that was thrown at this guy who really just wanted to play hockey. He didn't want to be, you know, a social justice warrior. He didn't want to take a stand. He just wanted to play hockey. I thought it really encapsulated a lot of what's going on right now in 2023.
And first of all, I have to ask, you're not a sports girl in the part of the country that you live in?
No. Okay. I should say this. I love sports. I enjoy them. I love the Bruins. My husband is a diehard Bruins fan. I love the Patriots. We're a big football family. I just mean like detail wise, I'm going to botch people's names. I don't really know what's going on. So when these stories come across my desk, luckily I have people I work with who are very into sports, but I got to do some digging before I get into it. It's not like pop culture.
My heart dropped for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. You live in that part of the country and you're not a sports girl? Wait a minute.
I know my husband's going to hear that and lose his mind. No, I am. I should say I'm a sports fan. I'm just not a fanatic. And I think that's where you got to be clear with people.
So, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on this before we wrap up here. Speaking of sports figures, Tony Dungy was also in a controversy, in a tiff, if you will, My co-host Dante is going to be talking about it in more in depth a little bit later on in the show during this hot take segment. But I wanted to get your thoughts on this backlash, because Tony Dungy, who's never been shy about his views, participated in the March for Life.
My take on it is that, and I tried to explain this to my younger sister, she's Gen Z. I said, I find it very interesting that when athletes or public figures, celebrities take a stance that is applauded by the media, applauded by celebrities, applauded by, you know, politicians in power, like Democrats in power, the younger generations consider that social justice or activism or courage. And when you have people who have a lot to lose, and it would be a lot easier for them to keep their mouth shut and stay home and not participate in something like the March for Life, even if they do believe in it, just easier to stay submerged and keep that opinion to themselves. No one understands how much courage that takes, whether you agree with them or not, whether it's your stance or not. When people have a lot to lose and they choose to speak up anyway because they think it's right, that's real courage. And, you know, I think back to the NBA when, you know, with Black Lives Matter and the NBA, they were supporting all these social movements. And I have no problem with people supporting whatever they want to support. But then you had a few players who wanted to support China. And suddenly the NBA and suddenly these coaches all started saying, well, we don't get political, because that actually required them to put up a lot at stake, to actually have something on the line. And they didn't want to do that. And so with Tony Dungy, I just think it would have been so much easier for him throughout his career to keep his mouth shut and to say nothing. And he didn't do that because he believes what he believes. And I think there's something really powerful about that that's underrated in our current society.
Absolutely. We're talking with Grace Curley from The Grace Curley Show. And since I do know you are a pop culture girl, give me a pop culture topic that you've been focusing on. Something that you're paying attention to.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Harry and Meghan all day long. I don't know. I really try to limit it with my listeners because I know people go crazy, but I was just talking about it with my parents. It's amazing. He's got this new book out, Prince Harry, called Spare, where he's not sparing any details, any of the gory details, and he's bashing his family. And then you have the coronation of King Charles coming up and whether or not they're going to go. And it's really weird to see the difference in perspective from people in the United States versus people in England and how we view this couple. And I've had so many conversations with people about it. And I can't get enough. I really can't.
Give us a Cliff Notes version of all of the drama that's been going on with Meghan in the
park. Okay. So since Megxit, it's obviously been a lot of back and forth. Meghan and Harry did the Oprah interview, and then they had this documentary series planned on Netflix, and that came out. And, you know, there were some digs at the family. It was pretty much, though, targeted towards the media and saying the media coverage of Meghan in England was not fair. And I fully believe that. I mean,
yeah, the British press is brutal.
Yeah, they can be incredibly brutal. And so none of that was really ever in doubt in my mind. And then what happened, and here's what I think is funny about it. A lot of people have been hard on Meghan, and myself included. I think there's something a little disingenuous about her. That's just that's just the honest feeling I get. It's nothing to say she's not a good person or anything like that. I just think she gives off that vibe sometimes, like she's an actress, which she is. Mm-hmm. But then Harry comes out with this book, and he's just drudging up things like, I got in a fight with my brother when I was a teenager. I got in a fight with him and he broke my necklace. This happened to me and this happened to me. And then you start going, oh, maybe we've been too hard on Meghan. Maybe this is not a Meghan problem. And this is, you know, a little bit of Harry has some work to do. And I guess my real question for it is, where or when does it end? Like, how long can you keep bashing your family and have that be your talent essentially before people say, okay, we got it. We heard enough. You know, the dirty laundry has been aired. We're good.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say this. I don't get bleeped on my show very often. I'm going to bleep myself on this one. When I saw the story and like read some of the stuff, he sounds like a real bitch. he sounds so weak. It's just, it's like, ugh.
Well, you know, what's weird too, is like, I was talking to a listener and I said, because I really try to come at it with an open mind. And I said, you know, I acknowledge that Harry probably had a hard life. And a listener called in and he was mad at me. And he said, what do you mean he had a hard life? I work 7 days a week. He's a prince, blah, blah. And I said, no, I think he's had a lot of hardship. He lost his mom when he was very young in front of the whole world. And I don't think it's been easy on him. And I think there's a lot of probably damage there that he's never dealt with, but he's just dealing with it on such a public, you know, platform for everyone to work through. And it's like, this is stuff you talk about with your family in private. I don't know if it's helping.
I would say a lot of the celebrities, because there's been celebrities over the past few months that have done that. And, you know, like you're right. Like, they shouldn't be so public about it, because really all they're doing is feeding these bloggers what they want, and feeding the people what they want, something to gossip about, something to talk about, when truly they should be working this out behind closed doors. Like, it's so toxic, it's so unhealthy, and it's not going to do much for them. And truly, let's say they do make up with their family, you know, if he makes up with his family, and then what? Now everybody else hates his family because everything he was just saying about them.
Yeah, you know what, Robin? It's like when you have a boyfriend or something, and yeah, you're mad, so you tell all your friends, and then you make up with your boyfriend, and then all your friends hate your boyfriend, and you're like, oh, yes, no, he's cool now. He's cool. And they're like, he's not cool to me.
It's like, oops, maybe I should have told all my business.
Yeah, right.
Grace, let them know how to listen to the show, when the show comes on, how to listen to it online as well for people that are outside of the area, and how to follow you on social media.
All right. Well, you guys can follow me at @G_Curly on Twitter and on Instagram. You can listen to my show on the iHeart app or at gracecurlyshow.com. Or we also put it up as a podcast, so wherever you get your podcasts. And you can read all my stuff at spectatorworld.com or thebostonherald.com, and occasionally on the Daily Mail. And I just want to say thank you so much. I love being on here with you guys. You're so fun. And I can't wait to hear Dante's take on all the sports political drama of the day.
Oh, I can't wait either. It's gonna be something. Knowing Dante the way that I know Dante, I know it's gonna be something.
Like I told Darvio, just check my Twitter right now.
I can imagine. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet because we've been doing the show, but I can only imagine. So thank you so much, Grace, for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure. Time flies, like a half an hour is already gone, because we just have so much fun when you're on the show. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys, for the opportunity. I have such a blast. Anytime you call me, I'm here.
I appreciate that. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Outlaws after this.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to the Outlaws. And now is the time of the show that we like to call Tea Time with Ro.
Turn it up. I don't see no competition. The latest celebrity news and gossip. So you better ask permission. It's Tea Time with Ro on the Outlaws Radio Show. If you wanna roll with
me. So, actually, this tea pretty hot. It's a little spicy. So, actually, it's a lot of spicy. So I don't really talk about P. Diddy very much, but in this case, it's quote unquote P.E.E. Diddy. So his girl, Young Miami, went on an interview talking about she likes to be urinated on. And I'm just trying to figure out what is wrong with sis?
So it's like, could you imagine, like, you're in a conversation and you just bring, oh yeah, I like to get beat on, like,
that's like no. And she really and she's on social media talking about, and I don't care what nobody say, I don't care, like, girl, that is you weird, you could have kept that one in the vault.
So Dante and I, we had this conversation with you, Robin, during the break, about where we think this stuff comes from. Dante brought something up and I completely agree. It, because it's like, first of all, where the hell do you get a thought like that to be like, you know what I want you to do? I want you to pee on me. It's like, are you serious?
Look, so, I love him enough that I want him to pee on me.
Lord have mercy.
That's Dante. How much I love him.
No. Dante, where do you think this stuff comes from?
It's got to be the porn. It's got to be the porn, man. We talked about that video that kind of ruined the 2000s. But, you know, it's got to be the porn, man. The level of it, this is not just like kinky sex, right? They say you shouldn't kink shame people, or, you know, anybody that has a proclivity, don't shame them. No, we're shaming this. This is, first of all, this is unsanitary. Okay. We, pandemic aside, this is gross. Okay. This is worse than leaving the bathroom and not washing your hands in a public bathroom. This is the most unsanitary thing you can do. Go to the bathroom on somebody, and people are celebrating it. It has to be because something has warped your mind so much to make you think that this is okay. It's got to be the porn.
And what we realized a couple of things during the break, that Dante and I are either a bunch of degenerates or we had a bunch of friends who were degenerates.
Both.
And that during this period of time, as the culture first started to become disturbing and disgusting, this was pre-Robin Thug phase. So Robin was in the house because have any exposure to any of this stuff, did you?
No, none of it. I was not aware of half the things that you're telling me about up until I don't know, 3 minutes ago. So.
It's part of it is like, if you're listening to the show and you're between like your 20s and your 30s, you probably remember Live Leak. You probably remember Rotten.com. You probably remember that infamous video that I don't even want to say the name of because it's disturbing to think about. And this was like in the early 2000s, really as the internet took off, and then you had the beginning of social media, shock stuff, shock videos was real in vogue, right? And a lot of times, both Dante, you and I had a similar story where it's like somebody else comes up to you and be like, hey, watch this. And you're like,
what's that? And you're like, oh, that's how you got exposed to this disturbing video, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? Boys is a different species. You know, y'all, boys are just weird and wired different from birth.
Yeah, but it was two women in that video.
I'm sure it was a man's idea. Had to have been.
They went along with it. It was two.
I don't know. Yeah, probably for money. You know, women in that area is wired different because, you know, a lot of women. We had conversations like this where women, you know, are more for money, right?
Yes. Yeah,
you can. So.
That's just, I don't even want to.
There ain't no way they was that slow.
Yeah, I don't even want to say what the video was. But in other words, basically what Dante is saying is that stuff like that, starting in that era, began to mainstream this idea of doing this really disturbing, disgusting stuff.
And now things like that are actually popular.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like it's crazy. I remember like as this stuff really started to become popular, and you see it now with this with the Young Miami thing. Now there are people on social media is like, no, that's all right. That's her right. She can do that. She like to get peed on. That's okay to get peed on. Like you always have the thing about social media is you always have somebody willing to defend some bull bleep. And sometimes it might be into bull bleep.
Like I said, there's a lot of weird things that people tend to do now, like the Young Miami thing. And truthfully, like, it's a lot of trends. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, come on, who was it? What's her name? Where she was said, gotta eat the booty like groceries. What's her name?
Janae Aiko.
Yep. Like, and the next thing you know, it's a popular thing. That person did it. Now everybody else want to do it because it's cool.
And it's funny
being talked about.
It's funny you brought that up because I was thinking about that song too as we were having this conversation. But I was also thinking about too, and Dante, I know you'll remember this, the infamous Gabrielle Union when she went on a radio show with no shame whatsoever.
Oh yeah.
And just flat out said that she that Dwayne like his booty eat up.
That was despicable. Huh? We knew he was fishing for a while. Oh, wait, I think I do remember
though. That. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. First of all, if you're doing that, why the hell do you feel it necessary to go on the radio and tell everybody, yeah, I tossed my husband salad. What?
I can't talk about that family without getting in trouble. So I will reserve. I won't say anything.
How's everybody get himself canceled?
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say about that family.
People can do what they choose, you know. I mean, I'm going to say out loud, no judgment. Do what you want, but... as a human, you know, you do what you want. But as a human, for me, I'm entitled to have my opinion about things.
I was just about to say, you took it right from it. I was just about to say, Robin is a great person with a beautiful soul, but I'm judging. If you like to get peed on,
I mean, I'm a judge like too, to but I said, I asked absolutely. Out loud.
But we judge here on the Outlaws.
I say inside my head, my facial expressions
here at the new Death Row FCB radio, specifically on the Outlaws, because I can't speak for other shows, but here we judge.
Look,
you like golden showers,
we
judging you.
Yeah, no, we're judging. Yep, I'm sorry, we're judging. Or what the kids say, sorry not sorry. I'm
yep judging. Can't about not chill. Apologizing for the truth.
The kids say.
All right. I think we
I think we've spent enough time on this one. Next.
Here's a good one, though. So the next one, I actually spoke a little bit about this in one of my tea times some time ago, not long ago. So defendants in the Young Thug trial accused of smuggling contraband into courtroom alleged hand-to-hand exchange of Percocet pill caught on camera.
So what I'm going to do right now is, Dante, I'm going to give you about a minute to explain how stupid this is.
Yeah, so these guys are on trial for being a basically a criminal conspiracy. Okay. You're on trial for, and as a criminal conspiracy, they're alleging that you did certain things like selling drugs, like violence and extortion, all these bad stuff. This bad stuff you're accused of doing. So in the courtroom, in the court, in front of police, on camera, in front of a judge, the jury, y'all go up to who's supposedly the gang leader and hand him a Percocet, which is illegal. You do a drug deal, the thing you are accused of doing, in court in front of everybody. What evidence does the judge need at this point? What evidence does the jury, if I was the prosecution, this would be over.
Yeah.
It's over. Look, Exhibit A. We know he don't got no respect for Georgia law. He'll do it in a court.
You playing in his face like
this. I have zero sympathy for what comes to these people. Zero.
Stupid. Now, here's the thing. Two thoughts. I have two thoughts on this. First of all, how stupid can you be? Right. They're showing us, right? Like, this
it speaks
is
for itself.
Insane. It's insane.
But you know what, Darvio? So I was going through the slide, right? And I was reading it while Dante was talking. And I just have to tell you, it says Adams was taken to the Grady Hospital, which is the guy that handed it to him. Adams was taken to Grady Hospital after he appeared to ingest other items of contraband in an effort to conceal the extent of his crimes within the courtroom.
Dumbass. So let me get this out. So one, you're dumb as hell. Just flat out stupid. But number two, and y'all know this, they talk like there's kind of like a running joke for people who were like 80s and 90s babies that our rappers talked about selling drugs. These rappers talk about using drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a perfect example of the prevalence of that drug culture, but nobody seems to think that they're an addict. Or you can become an addict. If you have to take a Percocet in the middle of court while you're on trial for all the things that Dante said, you're probably an addict.
I mean, I guess if he knew he was going down, might as well be high.
Jeez.
He said YOLO.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. For real. He's just like, F it.
Right. Just whatever. So actually, I have one more story for you. In this one, you know, Darvio, you guys already know how I am on these type of topics. Very passionate. So social media has been cutting up after Shakira reportedly found out her ex was cheating on her. But you wouldn't believe how she found out. Sis that was sleeping with Shakira's husband was eating Shakira's jam. I mean, like jelly jam that you put on a toast.
Like peanut butter and jelly jam.
Yeah. And so, but like, y'all got to hear me out. I ain't mad at it because females just be knowing. We pay attention to everything.
So this sounds like one of those like, I know you have some B word over here. You know how I know because I left a piece of paper right here on the desk. And now it's just a smidge. It's like 2 centimeters to the left.
No, see, you're going too deep into it. Now you're doing too much. I sense the sarcasm here.
This what? Yes, you said sarcasm, because that's what this sounds crazy. They're like, Dante, thoughts, go.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody trying to hear it.
I mean, maybe it was just like, it's just gone. Like, okay, maybe you ate it. Like, I've done that before. I've eaten stuff and not realized, like, oh.
And then you'd be like, damn, where is it?
Yeah, this has happened before. I don't know. And why did he just admit to it just based on these allegations? He could have, you could have. We're in trouble for something that you
should
have.
Come on now, no, because if nobody else is eating the jam.
He might have ate it.
If ain't nobody else touching that jam, and she knew how many scoops she took out that jam, and he don't eat jam, and nobody else in the house. Come on now.
See, ladies who are listening to the show, and I know there are a lot. We have a considerable female audience that listens to the show, and I appreciate you. Also.
All my girlies feel me.
Well, ladies, don't do this. It's one thing if you found a pair of drawers that don't belong to you.
It ain't mine.
If you found a press-on nail, like some lipstick or some, or your man comes home and he got a little lipstick
glitter
collar or glitter. That's right. But the glitter thing, he might have been to a strip club too. That's
correct. Or he might have been helping the kids with their homework.
No.
So those things I can totally understand. That is clear circumstantial evidence of a cheater. But he ate your jam, or your jam is aiding, and you don't, it's like somebody ate my jam. That sounds crazy as hell, ladies. I'm sorry.
But come on, she a celebrity. She probably has cameras in her house too. Maybe she left something. You don't listen, Darvio. I have taught you nothing. You have learned nothing. Okay, it has been what, 3 years? It has been what, 3 years? I have been trying to school you. You're not listening to me. This is a perfect time to say that men do not listen.
No, this is insane. I'm sorry. This sounds crazy as hell. Dante, am I tripping? This sounds crazy as hell.
Nope. I'm upset that the man actually, like, if she said you ate my jam, you must have been cheating. And he like, all right, you got me. No, 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 no.
Right. It was one of those things where, because sometimes a woman will set your ass up and throw something out there and then see how you respond. Right. Mm-hmm. So it would have been like, all right, yeah, you got it.
Like that, yeah. See.
Yeah. Don't go down. Don't admit to it.
That was the thing that made you give. Like, oh, you got me there.
Like, yeah, see, we come out with the way that we say things, and that's how we get you.
This is
like, well, maybe no, you must have ate it.
No, we not
ever have somebody in here like this. You got,
and I'm gonna give you that side face.
Go ahead, Robin. We'll close with this. Go ahead, Robin.
I'm gonna give you the side face. I'm gonna give you that look. Y'all know that look. I'm gonna give you that look. Like, yeah, I ain't crazy. Don't try to. Maybe you ate it. You know what? Maybe you tried it. You tried it.
Yeah, it's like that. And you know, Dante, like that joke that Kevin Hart told. You know, when they get in that crazy stance, don't act like I'm crazy. Like, you're crazy as hell.
No. I'm gonna give you that one hand on the hip, side eye face.
Oh yeah.
Listen.
Classic,
the whole
crazy
neck popping, all that. Yep.
I will tell you one thing, fellas. Anybody who decides to get involved with Robin, she will catch you cheating if she sees that there is something missing from the baby's fruit chews.
Well, that part cookies. Don't know
because I be eating the kids' fruit snacks. So
I can't believe, where's the rest of these fruit chews at?
No, Dario, I can't blame somebody else because I eat the fruit snacks.
But that's the point we're saying. Like, it's her jam. She eats the jam.
But fruit snacks for me wouldn't count because my daughter be stealing all the snacks. So
I'm gonna tell y'all something too, by the way. We're not gonna say the name because they're not paying us, but Robin got us hip to this particular brand of fruit snacks. They off the hook, y'all. We went on a road trip and Robin came with the snacks, yo.
And clutch.
And them fruit snacks was clutch, yo. I'm just saying. So stay tuned. We have Dante's Hot Takes when we come back here on the Outlaws.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome back. You listen to the Outlaws. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to this show on Apple, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a comment. It's very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who have already done so, thank you oh so very much. And now is the time of the show that we like to call Dante's Hot Takes.
Telling the truth, whether you like it or not. It's Dante's Hot Takes on the Outlaws Radio Show.
All right. So we're back. New year. I promise you, same me. Tony Dungy, Hall of Fame, NFL football coach, now broadcaster, is under fire by progressives because they don't like this particular black man with this particular set of views. So for those who may not know who Tony Dungy is, like I said, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He coached the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was the first black coach to win a Super Bowl, and is universally recognized as having a pristine reputation around the football community. He was in the NFL. He was a player. He was a coach. And now is a broadcaster. He has probably encountered thousands of men and women throughout his career in football. And I have never heard anyone say a bad word about this man. Never once have I ever heard anyone disparage his character, call him a phony, nothing. This man is universally beloved by everybody he's come in contact with until he just decided to say, I don't think people should be killed in the womb. And that leads people to say, well, he also hates homosexuals. So this week he's essentially come under fire in what seems to be, at least in my opinion, an orchestrated attack against his character by the same people who for years shouted the word fascist, 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 fascism, are now trying to goad his employer NBC and the NFL to distance themselves from him because they don't like his views. He spoke today actually at the March for Life event, and people took offense to that, and it led people to go back into his history where he said he wouldn't want a gay player on the team. Some people say it's because of his religious beliefs. I happen to believe it's like a lot of NFL coaches just wouldn't want the distraction of having the media circus around, quote, the first gay player or a gay player. That's usually what I think when I hear a coach or another player say that, because Tony Dungy, who coached Peyton Manning, do you really think that he'd have a problem if Peyton Manning, his Hall of Fame quarterback, who he won a Super Bowl with, was homosexual or lived an alternative lifestyle? I doubt it, right? Tony Dungy, for everybody who has come in contact with him, no one's ever said a bad thing. I mean, we have former players and opponents saying, well, he's actually like kind of one of the most beloved humans I've ever met. He's never said anything bad about anyone. Yet, because he's a Christian man who stands firm on his beliefs, the white progressive movement seems to hate him. Because what they do is they love dead black men who are murdered for a cause that they can hijack, like police brutality. They love black men who will put on a dress, or black men who are openly gay and trans, because then they can use them to fit their agenda. But a strong black man who loves God, which seems to be Tony Dungy's only crime, they hate him and vilify him and want to lynch him, right? So the same people who, if Tony Dungy were to be murdered by the police tomorrow, will march against the system that they hate. These same people today despise this man and basically want the NFL and NBC, his employer, to excommunicate him and get rid of him. Some writer, Dave Zarin, wrote this long think piece in whatever publication. I'm not even going to give the publication any credit. Just calls this man a violent homophobic, says that his words are in part responsible for the death of homosexual children around the world. I mean, think about what kind of language these people are using. So if you believe in God and you believe with the Bible or the Quran or most other religious books have to say, then you're violent and you're responsible for death and suffering. That's the kind of language that these people are using to vilify, like I said, a black man, although most of these people have Black Lives Matter in their bio. The type of hypocrisy and the type of disgust that white liberals have for black people who don't conform, it's really appalling. It really is. And I wish we could talk about something else, but it seems like every single week we have another example of them just acting up. And here we are again.
So it's funny you close it like that too, because I was actually kind of reflecting on that as you were talking. Like, you know, I've had conversations with Democrat friends who are like, man, you sure have disdain for white progressives. And I want to make this clear, because I don't have a disdain for all Democrats. There are some good Democrats out there. I have several friends in elected office, out of elected office, who are Democrats that are good people. So it's not a left, right. I'm not one of those people that's like automatically, if you're a Democrat, I hate you. Like, I'm not a super partisan person like that. But I have a particular disdain for white progressives, for the type of white progressive we're talking about. I'll put it like that. There are honest, sincere white liberals who are consistent in their beliefs and values who I respect. I know some, I can think of some off the top of my head that are consistent in their views. And I respect that. But the white progressive that we're talking about, the particular type of white progressive that both Dante and myself have a particular disdain for, are the ones who use black people as a shield. They're the ones who, they pimp us. They're tragedy pimps, as former Mayor Jackson, a Democrat who I love dearly, said once. The tragedy pimps, they use our tragedy. They use our history of trauma and they pimp it to their own benefit. Why? So that they can get moral authority and moral superiority for their politics. If you call yourself representing the downtrodden, then anytime anyone questions your beliefs, you get to say that those people have a problem with the downtrodden. But it's all fake. And it's fake because they don't respect Black people who disagree with them. I'm not talking about, you know, Black people who are bomb throwers or who are purposely trying to inflame people. Tony Dungy is the farthest thing from a bomb thrower that you could possibly get. And they hate this man's guts. They hate this man's guts because he is a threat to the system they are trying to build. They want Black people to sound like them, act like them, parrot their talking points, and never think another thought outside of what they believe. The moment you do that, it becomes a problem. I've seen white progressives do this to Black Republicans all the time. I've seen white progressives do it to Black Democrats who disagree with them. It is a matter of control. They look at us as a tool, to get what they want, which is power. They don't have any real love for us. The real love that the modern white progressive, the type of white progressive that we're talking about, and I understand that not everybody who identifies themselves as a progressive behaves in this matter. So the specific white type of white progressive that we are talking about are the ones who will say, who will put Black Lives Matter in their bio, but they will go one step, they'll go right up, just right up to the line of calling you the N-word if there's a Black person that disagrees with them. They don't love us. They love our usefulness. They love what we can do for them. They love the credibility that they get by associating themselves with us. They don't care about us. They don't care about us. But they spend all of their time, they spend time, effort, treasure presenting this false narrative because they have this white savior complex. And the ironic thing about it is these people who call themselves anti-racist and say that they fight against racism, and that is their main purpose, and they believe that Black lives matter. The irony of people with Black Lives Matter in their bio attacking a Black man for wanting to see more Black babies. Dante, if you got any other thoughts, and then let them know how to follow you.
It's just sad, man. It's just sad because these people defend their positions even as they move and as they shift, as if they're right, and they don't even see the hypocrisy or just the complete disdain that most Black people have for them. They really don't get it, and that's the part that really blows my mind. Is like, you really think you can talk to some of these people, and it's appalling because you can just say, "Wow, you really believe this? Your mind is that jaded that you really think that I'm so much less than you that like I need you? I can't possibly be thinking for myself because, wow, you don't agree with me." The savior complex that some of these people have is amazing to me. But, you know, we digress. That's all I'm going to say without getting us in trouble.
Let them know how to follow you, sir.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tay Bry, TAEBRYE.
Miss O'Malley?
Follow me on Instagram at Real Robin O'Malley. You can follow me on Facebook at Just Robin O'Malley and Twitter, that's Real Robin O.
And you can follow me at Dita Kingpin everywhere. That's DTHEKINGPIN. One more time, thank you so much to Grace Curley from the Grace Curley Show for coming on this show. We appreciate it. We are out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.